For more than a decade, the American Psychological Association has been releasing an annual report called Stress in America. It's based on extensive surveys, and it's seen as a way of taking the temperature of the country's mental health. The foreword to this year's report begins on a somber note. It says we are facing a national mental health crisis that could yield serious health and social consequences for years to come. Dr. Vail Wright is Senior Director of Healthcare Innovation at the American Psychological Association, and she's one of the report's authors. She joins us now from Chicago. Dr. Wright, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And let's start with that statement. When this pandemic started, we heard experts saying that there was a mental health crisis coming down the road. Does it seem to you that we've now reached that point?
I think so. Our mental health is really suffering from the compounding stressors in our lives. And I think if we don't take action now, we will see serious health and social consequences.
Well, tell me more about what that study found, including this line that says nearly 8 in 10 adults say that the coronavirus pandemic is a significant source of stress in their lives. What else did you learn?
Yeah, that's a huge number. We also learned that 60% of Americans say that the number of issues that America currently faces is overwhelming to them. And even more alarming, 1 in 5 adults said that their mental health is worse than it was at this time last year. So clearly people are really reporting the degree of suffering that they're experiencing.
And what is, I mean, in some ways this is an obvious question, but in what is the cause of the stress? Is it the health aspect of the pandemic that's hurting people's emotional health? Is it the economic fallout? Is it all of the above?
I think at this point, it is all of the above. When you ask in our survey what is causing stress, it is the pandemic, but it is also the economy and its potential changes to healthcare with the election and the election itself, as well as the social unrest and climate change. It's all these national kind of level stressors that I think everybody is feeling, but most people feel like they don't have a lot of control over.
All right. Yeah, this is quite a year, 2020. Let's tick through some more of the report. You write about Gen Z, which you divide into two different age groups. We'll talk about the youngest first, 13 to 17-year-olds. What are they dealing with?
Certainly, they're dealing with a lot of disruption when it comes to school. 81% of teens say that they've experienced negative impacts of the pandemic related to school closures, and half say that the pandemic makes planning for the future impossible. And of course, developmentally at that age, school provides not just safety, but structure.
Yeah, the older Gen Z group, 17 to 23, seems like they're struggling with things like sleep disorders, poor eating, restlessness, inability to concentrate. What else did you learn there?
They're also most likely to report experiencing common symptoms of depression. And Gen Z adults in college, of course, also reported that education is a significant source of stress in their lives. And this survey was fielded right around August. So again, a lot of college students were really struggling with figuring out, were they even going to return to campus, let alone how were they going to continue their education?
From what I can tell, young people are especially troubled by the fact that their ability to socialize in groups is hampered in this pandemic. What should we say to young people who are suffering because of that reason?
Well, it's interesting because we always think of young adults as the ones that are the most technologically savvy. And what we're finding is that they're not really being creative with how to use technology to stay connected. And so encouraging them to find ways to do that, I think, is really important. I think for young adults, that incidental kind of contact, maybe not even just hanging out with friends, but just seeing people, is really critical to development. So helping them find ways to keep maintaining those connections, including with us as the adults, asking them how they're doing and really trying to engage them more often than maybe we were before.
What about older adults? I mean, I know a few elderly people in my life who are really hurting emotionally because of the isolation.
I think that older adults are really struggling with the isolation, particularly as we approach the holidays and sort of having to realize and come to terms with the fact that their holiday is going to look very different this year, that they might not be able to see their family, including their grandchildren, and how that might impact them.
We're also taking a look at the stress that lower-income families and non-white families are facing. It is higher than other groups. What else did your report find there?
Yeah, and in particular, when we're looking at individuals from communities of color, they're reporting stress related to basic needs, how to access health care, how to get enough food, how to find stable housing. So you compound all that on top of just all the national stressors that everybody's experiencing, and it's just alarming.
And this is bleak. As you describe, a picture that almost every age group is suffering in their own way. And there isn't just one thing happening. There are so many things happening at once. So what is the effect of all this pain in the long term?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think everybody is impacted by this in some way or another. What we get worried about is when that stress becomes chronic, when we don't get any relief and it starts to wear on our bodies. And that's when you start to see the long-term physical and emotional consequences, including things like cardiovascular disease, hypertension, obesity, as well as obviously depression and anxiety and substance use. So again, I think if we don't take action now and really try to work on both individual coping, but also how we heal our nation, we're in for some pretty serious consequences.
And to that point, there had been warnings from some health professionals, but also even from people like President Trump, who said that the pandemic and lockdowns could lead to a surge in death by suicide. And we do see that there are reports of calls to suicide hotlines have increased over the last couple of months. But there's also research by a group of doctors at Boston's Brigham and Women's Hospital that did not show an increase in suicide since the pandemic began. What do you make of this issue? And is there anything that you've noticed about what's happening?
Yeah, I think that was a good characterization. We are seeing a rise in suicidality, which is thoughts about suicide or thoughts about death, but not actual completions. What that suggests to me is that individuals who are calling the hotlines, that's working, that people are hopefully seeking out support, whether that's professional or just with their families, and that there's hope and not necessarily just hopelessness. People are resilient. We as individuals are resilient. We as a nation can be resilient. And it's not always going to feel like this, even though it feels like it now.
Do you have reason to believe that if people are talking about suicide more often or thinking about it more often, then of course the next step then is that the numbers will start to show that it is happening more often? I mean, are we just too early in the pandemic to really know what's happening in relation to suicide?
It is probably too early, but we also know from the research that even though it seems counterintuitive, actually talking about suicide doesn't make it more likely to happen. It actually reduces it. So it's okay for people to be reaching out and talking about how they're feeling and then seeking that support. That's how you would get better.
How else can we help each other through this?
I think we need to be looking out for each other. I think we need to really garner more grace, less judgment, and more empathy for each other. We're all going through this, even though we might have different experiences and might be approaching it differently. But we do need to have this kind of all in it together approach. We had that kind of at the beginning of the pandemic. And then as time continued on, I think that sort of fear, that stuff that brought us together, got replaced with fatigue. And the problem with fatigue is that it becomes really hard to do the things that we know we need to do to stay healthy. So we all need to be working together, helping each other to do the things to protect our mental and emotional health.
I've noticed in conversations with people that there's a sense of, well, this has been going on for so long now. I should be used to it. Why is this still so difficult? You know, I should have coped by now. I wonder what you think of that.
I think that's part of the judgment that I'm thinking of, this idea that somehow we should have figured this out. And I think most people do have routines. But now it's to this place of, okay, I've got the routine. Maybe I know how to work from home. My kids are doing the e-learning. I figured out how to get groceries. But it's kind of this now what? How do I make my life worth living? How do I make this meaningful when I know I'm going to have to isolate, when I know the weather's about to change, when I know my holidays aren't going to look like how I want them to look? And so it really becomes about how do I, instead of viewing all of this as something's been taken away, how can I view it all as an opportunity to do something new, to try new things, to start new traditions, and to really connect and reflect on what are my values and am I living within those values?
Dr. Vail Wright, one of the authors of the American Psychological Association's 2020 report on stress and mental health in America and the toll that the pandemic has taken on all of us. We'll have more information at hereandnow.org. Dr. Wright, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.